if you read closely the text in Acts, it comes alive. You see, I mean, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. Well, where's Athens and where's Corinth? Nice to know, isn't it? Well, in the back of your New Testament, there's always a map. All you have to do is flip. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus. Where's Pontus? Who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Well, where's Italy? That's a safe one. We can find that one anyway. Okay. Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Now, Tacitus mentions this. It looks as though the Jewish believers and the Jews who did not believe got themselves in one huge argument. Tacitus says, Claudius made this decree and got rid of all the Jews. He didn't like the Jews anyway, you know, because there was a great big riot, impulsore quodam Christo. And this is as close as he could get, like at the instigation of somebody called Christ. Well, it wasn't that our Lord was stirring up that. It was that they were fighting about who he was. But it must have been quite a fight, because Claudius just got fed up with a whole bunch and said, any Jew has got to get out of Rome. I don't care who you believe in, whatever you do, you're out. And we have Tacitus' remark, that he did that because it was this great big riot, impulsore quodam Christo, as close as he could get. Okay. Paul then, you see, met them. They came over from Rome, and he went and visited them because they practiced the same trade. That means Paul is going back to work. If any man does not work, neither let him eat. So he goes back to work with them, and he stayed with them. But they were tent makers by trade. Now, this part of Italy, so it doesn't stay in the air. That's the only thing, like, interloosed, you know. This part of around Corinth and all around there, there was goats. They raised goats, and the goats here was very tough and very black, but tough to work with. But when you got a tent, it was waterproof. So the Roman army contracted for these all the time. And so Paul was probably making tents for the Roman army. Legitimate. They want tents to keep these guys warm. I'll make tents and I'll make money. Then I can preach. Nothing wrong with that. But then when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began to occupy himself totally with preaching the word. Sounds like Titus and Timothy had a trade, and maybe they were tent makers too, whatever. He didn't have to work anymore. They could work and he could preach. And they all preached. And then you heard the rest of it. Finally, there was another impulsore quodam Christo, kind of a little riot. And so Paul left, went over to the Gentiles. But then it says, the house he stayed with a man by the name of Titus Justus, who lived right next to a synagogue. And Paul won over that synagogue leader, Crispus. You see how it gets very real if you think about it. But why would Luke want to stop and tell us all these details? Because you see, this book we're reading, which we call the Acts of the Apostles, is really the Acts of God. That's what this book is all about. The title was put on later, modeling a certain kind of biography in the Hellenistic world, Roman Hellenistic world. But if you really want to know what the book is about, It's about the acts of God. Enough. We're going to move for a minute to the gospel, which is, we're getting close now to the ascension. Some dioceses are having it already today. And our Lord says, a little while, you'll no longer see me. A little while, and you will see me. He's talking about his passion and resurrection. They said, what's that mean, a little while? And because I'm going to the Father. You see, when he goes to the Father, that is, when he's risen from the dead and his whole humanity is transformed by the divinity, then we can see him with the eyes of our faith. Now he's accessible. Even his humanity shares in a mysterious way in the omnipresence of God. We see him with the eyes of faith. We talk to him. We interact with him. We are aware of his presence. Every one of us. That's because of the wonder of the resurrection, which follows on that act of love in which he died, carrying the whole world with him, and then rose again. And when he's risen again, then people can see him. Then the Lord goes back to the theme. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. He's predicting there his passion and resurrection, which is going to happen very soon now. But it's also a rhythm, isn't it? Now, if you go look at John 16, the very next verse, you have that very striking image, right? A woman is sad when the hour has come for her to give birth, because she's going to have pain. But then as soon as the child is born, she forgets the pain. There's a child. And that's the image that Jesus has. Yeah, you'll go through a hard time. But when I come to you, you'll forget that. Whether it be when I take you to heaven, whether it be when I lift a trial, he's promising us this rhythm.